Good morning and welcome to Wednesday morning, March 13th in 2024 on When I Arise. Today we continue Year B, the fifth Sunday in Lent, and on the Wednesday of the week, I'd like to pick up one of the extra passages which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary. In this week of the church's calendar year, but in the season of Lent, there's only four per week, and so on these types of weeks, we go looking around for an extra passage to fill out the 5 days. And so what we've been doing so far this year is just going through the book of Revelation section by section whenever we have a chance for this one of these free days. So let me advance that a little bit further. Today we'll read Revelation chapter 3 verses 1 through 6. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Write this to the angel of the church in Sardis. These are the words of the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know what you have done. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen the things that remain, the things that are about to die, because I haven't found your works to be complete in the sight of my God. So remember how you received the message, how you heard it and kept it, and repent. So if you don't keep awake, I'll come like a thief, and you won't know what time I'm coming to you. You do, however, have a few people in Sardis who haven't allowed their clothes to become dirty and polluted. They will be clothed in white and will walk with me as they deserve. Anyone who conquers will be clothed like this in white robes, and I will not blot their name out of the book of life. I will acknowledge their name in the presence of my Father and in the presence of his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is the word of God for us. Always get a giggle when I read the word Sardis or when I read it in Revelation here, because it reminds me of Doctor Who, right? The TARDIS. Anyways, this is a great passage and one that you hear sermons from time to time because it seems like the issues that were happening in the Church of Sardis are common to maybe any Christian community along the ages of the church. But knowing a bit of the history of the city just makes the meaning all the more rich. And so I was digging through some commentaries, preparing for the morning's talk here. And Sardis was known to be an impregnable city. It was built on a very steep hill, and for several centuries, people tried to attack it, and they were not successful, and they finally were. It's almost like they assumed that they were out of reach, and so they weren't guarding it as diligently and vigilantly as they should have, and somebody was able to sneak past their defenses, and I believe Cyrus, one of the kings that is mentioned in the Old Testament, is given credit to attacking the city and running it over. And so even though this was like maybe 600 years before the Christian gospel ever came to the church in Sardis, the memory of this moment would have been clear. And so as this word is getting to the church in Sardis, they would have seen it like this, so full of images. And I think one of the things that is worth focusing on as modern readers is this line within this, you know, correspondence to the church in Sardis, that their works are not complete. What an interesting idea. And I think this, we have to know a little bit about the first century culture and gift giving in order to kind of get to the bottom of what this means. So gift giving, we've talked about this even recently in the last couple of weeks here on When I Rise, that gifts were not given without strings attached. Okay, so that gift giving for the sake of it, with no strings attached, is more Victorian England idea. But going back to the ancient cultures, you see that gifts were given with a purpose. There was always quid pro quo. And gifts are not usually given through common people, like in the same status, but gifts were given and asymmetrically, they would say. This all comes from John Barclay's wonderful work on Paul and the Gift that I highly recommend if you need like a summer reading, because it might take y'all summer to get there, to get through it. John Barclay's got a great book on New Testament theology, what's going on in the setting and why Paul is using these words and what they meant to the first hearers. But gift giving was always asymmetrical. So somebody richer often would give a gift to someone who's poor, or maybe to be more accurate, to a whole poor community. And like, let's say there was a community that needed some better sewage. Okay, I may have already talked about this the last couple of weeks. Somebody who had the means would pay for that. And it was just simply understood that you would finish the work, finish the gift giving, but at an opportune time, giving, you know, giving credit or supporting the person who gave the gift at a time when they needed you. So let's say this person wanted to run for public office. Knowing that they supported you in the past, you and your whole community would line up and would support this person, be letters of recommendation for their political appointment and so on and so forth. And so I think this is what's going on here, is like God has been so gracious to this church in Sardis, and their performance in return, their faithfulness in return has been less than pleasing. It hasn't been complete. Another way to say it, a related word in the Greek language is mature. Right? They have not been mature enough in their faith in response to all the grace given to them. So imagine like a kid who wanted to start a new sport. Let's say, since I love the sport of hockey, they went to their parents one day and said, I would love to play the game of hockey. And let's say their parents, instead of like hedging their bets and buying their kid used stuff, they went and they got them top of the line stuff, you know, like the best skates, the best stick, the best pads, and they, you know, pulled some strings, got them into the best youth hockey development program that they could, you know, find out there, and they got them a spot. And could you imagine in return this kid saying, like, after one practice, you know what, I think I'll play basketball instead? Like, that would like hurt the feelings of the parents, right? This is a very maybe this rudimentary way of maybe illustrating what's going on to the church in Sardis. God has been so gracious and good. Like, he's forgiven them their sins. He's provided a space for them to be the church and to be about the mission of God. And what have they done in response? They haven't actually followed through with their end of the covenant plan, right? They've almost like been entitled. And because of their application and their effort in response has been lacking, has not been pleasing. And so Jesus is imploring them, like, hey, like, you got to shore some things up, because who knows, like, the vitality of it all might disappear, might be swiped away from you like a thief in the night, like that ancient story from 600 years earlier in your town where you thought you had everything covered and you had nothing to worry about, and the next thing you know, devastation came into your midst. In the same way, like, the Christian faith is meant to be responded. Like, of course we can't make God turn up. Of course it's by sheer grace that we're in the faith. But what would make it all the more, like, pleasing, all the more, I don't know, expected of us, is to live and to desire a faithfulness in return to God, right? And so, Christian brother and sister, is it okay for us to struggle? Absolutely. Jesus' love endures. Like, God's love endures. Absolutely. It is by grace. And the work that God started us, he's going to carry to completion. It is just understandable that we're going to struggle in the faith. And because Christianity is quite tough, right? Love the way that Dr. Jeremy Sims, my friend, said, Christianity is as easy as hard gets, right? I mean, this is a hard faith, hard claims to live by. So yes, we're going to make mistakes, but we should fall forward. We should seek repair. We should seek a growth mindset in the faith. So we're like the rest of those in the Church of Sardis. Like, we can probably say about ourselves that sometimes our performance in the faith has been quite lacking. But we need to be people of good cheer. Jesus is still at work, and he still wants to provide for us. So let's, in response to the great grace given to us by Jesus, let's live with a desire to be faithful all the way to the end, so that we can experience the depth of life like the promises have been articulated in this passage this morning. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've drawn us into the covenant family, and we thank you that we get to experience the thrill of knowing your forgiveness. We get to know and understand and embrace the idea that you've separated us from our sin as far as the east is from the west, and that should create a response of faithfulness from us. But we confess at times, God, we take advantage of it. We, knowing that we are forgiven free, we kind of go away and do what we like, and we know that we have not come to know Christ this way. We know that the love of God not only has forgiven us, but the love of God now compels us to be like Jesus. And so God, this day, we confess to you that we need your help. Our performance has been lacking, and we desire to complete the good works of faith throughout the remainder of our days. And so we pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you'd empower us to be people of heart, soul, and mind dedicated to Christ, to be found in Christ, and to have not given allegiance to any other. And so as we do so, our lives would be transformed and that our works would be made complete because you are with us and you live through our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.